All right, we wrap with Roycey every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday here on Mackie and Judd. You can also find Roycey Unchained, full episodes of just unfiltered Roycey takes with Judd.
So good yesterday.
On Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com, and the ScoreNorth app. So, Pat, KSTP is reporting that the Twins are going to try and put 10,000 fans inside Target Field for the opener. I mean, you're a vaccinated man, so you don't care.
I could
be 40,000.
Yeah, I can go down there and do whatever I want to do, but they're not going to let them have 10,000 right off the bat. I think they threw 10 out there so that they'll say 6, or something like that. I don't think they're going to let them have 10 right off, because today's front page story in the Strib is how large, gatherings are still spreading the virus. Did you see that? So, sporting events, there's so many cases have come, 29 have come from, that's the virus being spread at sporting events and stuff. I don't think they'll let them have 10 in April, but their biggest problem on April 6th is not going to be the virus. It's going to be, have we gotten a verdict in the trial yet? So, that will have a lot more to do with what's going on downtown than whether they can get 10,000 in for the virus or not. I have a hunch. So anyway,
I think you're probably right.
That is my opinion.
So Patrick, among uncomfortable press conferences that you have witnessed in your lengthy legendary career in this town, where does Gerson and Finch fit in for just uncomfortable?
Mr. Pillow on Newmax, I'd say. Newsmax is what I felt like I was watching. Except Mr. Pillow might have told more truth than these guys were throwing. It's a hard press conference to have when everything you're saying about the timeline is a lie, okay? So we're supposed to believe that the Raptors were here Friday, but we never brought this up to Chris Finch, right?
The communication started during the game on Sunday night. They got permission. Yes. They talked to Chris Finch in the second quarter.
He got bored. He's like, who should I call? Hey, Chris Finch's number.
Right. And by the way, was it during the stirring fourth quarter comeback that the deal was finalized? I mean, what?
Hold on, if Cat makes this shot, we're going to stick with Ryan. Hold on. Just off the rim. You're fired.
Is there a reason for the lying? Is it some league reason?
Yes.
Because they should have went through more of a process or something? Is there a reason that they don't say, well, we made contact?
Because he was employed elsewhere. That's why.
Huh?
Because he had a job in the league,
but if you go to,
I don't think you're supposed to contact him.
If you go to Nick Nurse and the Toronto officials Friday morning and say, hey, I want to talk to Chris and give him the job, are you guys going to be okay with it? Now, I heard is there some rule you can't hire an assistant until you're done playing that team for the year or something?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw that, but that doesn't make any sense. But I read that there's something like that. But, obviously, the deal was finalized Friday, and for some reason, I suppose they had more paperwork and stare. He wanted to go back to Toronto, Finch, to do something, but it was, and the funny thing is modern sports executives, even with the massive amounts of media there are now, realize that they can give us any pile of horse poop that they want to and get away with it. That eventually there's going to be enough people that will accept that it makes no difference, makes no difference. They're going to tell us their lie and stick with it.
Yeah.
And he's now made a big deal out of what was a routine. I think everybody would feel better about it if he said, I had permission from the Raptors. We talked with Chris about it. We made it official on Saturday morning, and he wasn't prepared to coach this game, and the embarrassment becomes not. And I think Doogie hit the nail on the head. They didn't want Vanderpool to coach a game on Saturday to emphasize the fact, I mean, on Sunday, to emphasize the fact that they weren't hiring a black guy, right?
Yeah, I think the optics, I hate the word optics, but like that's what people are talking about, right? That's like nationally, that's the conversation that, well, wait a second, you had David Vanderpool on your staff here. Why would you not give him the opportunity? Why would you go outside the organization when he's right under your nose here?
Yeah, and if he was on the sideline for that Knicks game and they somehow won, it would put more emphasis on that. But I got hope for this guy. I think, you know, he obviously knows offense. Looks exactly like the current Jeff Daniels. Did you notice that?
He does.
Looks exactly like Jeff Daniels, especially when he's on the sideline and somebody has just irritated him. He's got that.
Well, let's take a peek.
Great opportunity here with a good young roster. I think it's at the right time to take steps forward in developing an identity.
He should have been wearing one of those baby blue suits like in Dumb and Dumber.
You know, Gerson, just when you think you couldn't do anything more dumber, you go and do something like this.
You redeem yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I tweeted that out. He looked like the remake of Dumb and Dumber, that Jim Carrey had done something particularly stupid in the picture that we ran, that we ran today. But, you know, it's just, how he got himself in this situation where he had to lie about the whole thing is because there was no reason to. It was just, you know, just tell the truth. What the hell's the problem? I don't, you know, you could have made Ryan a hero. You could have said, yeah, we told Ryan this was going to happen, and Ryan agreed to go coach the last game against the Knicks, you know, because Ryan would have probably said, yeah, I'll go coach him one more time. So he's that kind of guy. So it was just they made a big controversy out of something that didn't have to be that controversial. But that's the way we do things over there.
I was going to say, that's the Wolves, though, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pro sports, but that's the Wolves.
And it isn't the first lie we've had, blatant lie we've had told, obviously. My favorite is Glenn Taylor being forced to tell the league that the Joe Smith contract was his whole idea, that McHale and Saunders had nothing to do with it. It was all on him. Talk about thinking people will believe anything. That was a beauty. Yeah. So
there's
they have a tradition of this.
I was telling Judd earlier too, there's also, you know, the Wolves only get national attention when they have the number one pick for a few minutes and then when something horrible happens. And in this case it was something horrible. So there's so much attention, and I was a little bit like, this is a weird, uncomfortable way of going about this process, but we're sitting here focusing on, boy, they handled this coaching change pretty terribly. Let's micro-examine it. Yeah, well, it's also their 10th coaching change in 15 years. Like, the house is smoldering, and we're like, boy, that lawn out front looks like it could use
a... Is that right? 10 and 15 years. Yeah. Flip was, what, in his 10th season, right, when he got fired?
I believe so.
He was in his 10th season in the 10 years since then, I guess so. Well, as I told you, I did the stats yesterday. When you have a 314 winning percentage and the franchise is in season 31 and you're only the seventh worst coach, there's something wrong there. So you know what I'd really like to see is Cat be the NBA player who stands up and says, it's on me to turn this around.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm willing to stay and help with the culture. I don't want to hear that crap. It's on me to be a superstar and lead us out of this abyss.
Yeah.
Just like Kevin Garnett did.
Yeah.
Lead us out of the abyss and get us to the playoffs. It's on me, not on, you know. That's the trouble with the modern NBA. If teams are losing, it's never the players' fault. It's that they haven't put surrounded. If great players are losing, it's never the player. It's never the great players' fault. It's they haven't surrounded them with enough players.
James Harden. Like James Harden is the prime Mount Rushmore example of it. Yeah. You guys went 0-27 from 3-point range with a chance to go to the finals, dude. That's on you.
Yeah, and right now Giannis, he just signed. He says, I'm here for life. And they're now 18-13. And you know dang well if this ends up like being a first round loss in the playoffs or something, or even a second round, that's going to become the storyline. Giannis is now, he seems like a good guy and everything, but they're playing terrible.
Yeah.
And he's not, you know, he hasn't said anything yet, but the reason they're playing terrible, part of it has to be he's not playing as well, right? I mean, two-time MVP, he's not carrying them like they did last year. So it's just, that's the biggest problem in this league. It's, okay, hey, we got Durant and we got Irving, but that isn't enough. We got to get Harden too, you know. It's
they're playing well, though.
Oh, God, they are. Yeah,
well, that's your playing well.
Like, Harden is like being the facilitator all of a sudden. So, by the way, let me say this about Finch. I got hopes for the guy and everything, but he did use the word, we want the change to be organic. those are tomatoes.
Don't we all, Pat?
Those are things we grow in our own garden, you jerks. Those are not organic. Isn't something that we do in sports. It's not organic to grow in sports. It's to grow vegetables. That's it. Nothing else.
The beginning and the end of the press conference included "Welcome to the Timberwolves family." That's what I thought would get you.
Family.
We welcomed him to the family, which just took the son and threw him out of the house.
And by the way, we just threw the most successful family in the history of the franchise out of the house.
Yes,
right?
They're no longer welcome in the family. You know what? Clarifying it, it's the mafia. That's what we didn't realize. It's the mafia.
Oh, my God. Pull the knife out of Ryan's back there, family.
Right.
I need you to make the coaching change now, Gerson. Make it now.
I have to admit this. Was in the car at 3 o'clock yesterday and heard our rival from the FM station, Barrero. He went pretty much insane about all the things they heard about culture and family and growing when this all started. That first anti Tibbs press.
The Gerson presser. The first Gerson one. His kids were there.
When they sig Gerson's kids up there to the front to sit on his lap to show us that we aren't like Tibbs, who doesn't even have a wife. All he's got is a sister and a niece, and we got these little kids. Look at us. We're now a family. We weren't a family anymore, you know?
Yeah.
God almighty.
Yeah.
Great back then.
You know, that's part of Tibbs' problem. He needs to hire some child actor. He needs to hire a family.
Hire kids.
For these press conferences.
Hire kids and bring them in like furniture.
Really excited for Jody and
Tommy
Jr.
That's
what I said about Phil. Phil didn't become extremely popular until they kept sending the kids out there after he won. And the kids never got any bigger. I think they were renting kids. They were getting like, they were always... They were always 3 and 5 when they were running out there.
Smart. Bring in the kids. Rent them. That's fine.
Can you imagine Tom Thibodeau with like a 7-year-old on his knee during a press conference?
This time I want twins. This time I'd like to. Oh, sure. We've got plenty of twins for you.
Tommy Jr.
You know what we didn't realize with the twin Tibbs was that we were seeing his version of modern basketball when he played here, because that stuff the other night was unbelievable. I said the only thing missing was Rick Mahorn. You know, it was unbelievable. Splash into the basket. They took 1-3 in the fourth quarter. It was hysterical. It's okay. I'm not going to go with all that crazy stuff I did in Minnesota. We're going to try to mug you, damn it.
So. Amazing. All right.
Yeah, hey, with Johnny Starks.
Full squad workout today. I'll be there Sunday, boys. I'll be talking to you next week.
Oh, you'll awesome. Be down there Sunday. Nice.
I'm heading to the Ford on Sunday, yes.
Awesome. All right, Pat. We'll talk tomorrow.
See you. Goodbye.
That's it. Wrapping with Royce here on Mackie and Judd.
Tibbs renting kids. I need Switch. Two kids.
Give me Johnny.
Kids.
Switch. Be great.
I need to rent a wife.
They all have their lines and stuff that they read, and they go on their merry way.
Oh, Tom, I love you.
All right,
where are the kids?
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries.
And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.